Well, this is the fourth week in our sermon series based on your questions. And today's sermon addresses the question that came to us: should Christians get plastic surgery? It's an interesting question, but it's a good one to ask because it lets us stop and think about, well, what does God say about our bodies? And what does God say about beauty? Now, there are many reasons that a person might need to get plastic surgery. Some of them are good reasons. But today I want to talk about surgery that is purely cosmetic. That's more of an option than a necessity. Now, the Bible doesn't speak to us about plastic surgery. We can't go to the text and find a story about a woman who prayed and prayed for a new nose, and then God blessed her with one, and she was grateful. Or we can't find a story about Jesus healing someone of all their wrinkles. It's not there. But this is a big thing today, this question of plastic surgery. More and more millennials are opting to get plastic surgery, and it seems that the following generation, Gen Z, is pursuing this trend as well. As I was reading different articles about plastic surgery, or specifically cosmetic surgery, I found a lot of places actually advertised specifically to young women, women that are in their 20s and 30s. And I came across one place that gave a list of 10 reasons why you should get plastic surgery when you're young. And I want to share with you a few of those reasons that I found. The first one said, as a young person, you are constantly being told to wait. But you don't have to wait anymore. Let us help you become your best self. Another said, it's healthy to project your best self to the world, and cosmetic surgery will help you do that. Cosmetic surgery can improve your self-esteem, your confidence, and your sex life. And the final reason they gave was this: live for the now. Not to get too political, but we live in divided times. There is no certainty about tomorrow, so more and more young people are living for today. Our environment is on the precipice, and global tensions are careening towards a proverbial cliff. Why postpone one's enjoyment when the future is so uncertain? Youth is to be enjoyed, so get out there and live it up. I came across an article about a plastic surgeon in Calgary. She was being interviewed, and she told them that her patients used to bring in pictures of celebrities, and they would say, make me look like this person. I want their nose or their lips. But now, more and more, she's finding that people are bringing in selfies that they edit online, and they'll say, make me look like this edited version of myself. There is one celebrity who still, her picture is brought into surgeons a lot. Her name's Kylie Jenner, and she's one of those people who is famous for being famous. I'm not exactly sure why she's famous, but she's young. She's 22. She's a billionaire. And it's her picture that people are often bringing in to these surgeons. And it's funny because Kylie Jenner was actually in the news recently because during the pandemic, she relaxed her makeup routine a little bit. And she went out. She went out without her makeup done, without her hair done. And someone followed her and took a picture. And it made the news because she was unrecognizable. You know, it turns out that Kylie Jenner doesn't even look like Kylie Jenner. Yet this is the image that she's putting out there, and women are saying, we want to look like this, when it's not real. When I was in high school, the big thing at the time for beauty was having a nice tan, having tan skin. A lot of the celebrities at the time would have, you know, tan skin and bleached blonde hair. And this is something that I bought into. I thought, well, yeah, I want to have glowing skin year-round. It doesn't matter that I live in Canada and we don't see the sun for 6 to 8 months of the year. So I started buying tanning lotion. And I used it for a long time, probably until I went to the Philippines. And I remember going into a store, and I saw the brand of product that I use. But instead of a product designed to darken your skin, it was designed to whiten your skin. They were selling a product that does the opposite, because this was the demand over here. And they were marketing it as something that made you look healthy, which is the same thing they were doing here with their tanning product, is something that will make you look healthy. And as I saw this whitening cream, something in me clicked, and I realized that the message that this company was sending was, if you want to be beautiful, then change who you are. Change yourself. And I stopped using their tanning lotion, because that's not a message that I'm on board with, and that's not what the Bible tells us. There are thousands of ways that the culture tells us to change our bodies. They tell us to change to a dictated standard of beauty, a man-made standard of beauty. And the message is often about becoming better, either a better version of ourselves or like someone who is better than we are. And feeling good about your body, it's not something that historically the church has encouraged. In fact, it's probably discouraged it. Often when we hear about our bodies in church, we hear about how it lets us down or it leads us astray. We know that our bodies are the source of a lot of temptation. You know, we eat more than we should. We experience lust as a physical reaction. And we have to work hard to discipline our bodies so that these urges, these desires, don't take over. We tend to think of our spirit as something that is good and our body as something that is bad. But that's not what the Bible actually says. If you want to know what the Bible says about our bodies, we can go right back to the beginning, back to Genesis 1, where God is creating man and woman. He creates their bodies, and he says, it is very good. Our bodies are very good. And our bodies, they came into existence through the very words of God, the very breath of God created our bodies. So how can we not be good and beautiful? And if we are good, if we are beautiful, then why this desire to change our bodies? Why do we obsess over what we see as imperfections? Now, having an obsession with beauty isn't healthy, but we can't deny that we are made with this desire for beauty. That's part of how God created us. We hunger after beauty. Now this desire, this innate desire in us, is supposed to lead us toward Him, to seek beauty in God. But the problem is that our desires have been tainted. When sin entered the world, our desires were tainted. And so that which was supposed to lead us toward God now leads us away from God. But part of having the Holy Spirit in us, this Holy Spirit that we received at Pentecost, is that the Spirit transforms our desires so that they're no longer conformed to the desires of the world, but they're transformed into desires that lead us back to God. So as we think about cosmetic surgery, we need to ask whether it's something that reflects the beauty of God or whether we're trying to conform to a man-made ideal of beauty. Unfortunately, we can't find a sermon by Jesus on plastic surgery. But we can look to someone who is wise, someone who had a lot to say about beauty, and that's King Solomon. You know, the Song of Solomon, it gives us a dialogue between two lovers. We have two people that are searching for each other, and this book talks about longing and love and beauty. Now, the passage that we looked at today is one where Solomon, or the man, is extolling the beauty of his bride. He is singing her praises, and he's describing her physical beauty. But if you pay attention to this passage in chapter 4, she doesn't actually sound that beautiful. You know that phrase, a face only a mother could love? Well, as I read this, that's what comes to mind. I mean, he's using animals to describe what she looks like. But I'm going to give Solomon the benefit of the doubt. I'm guessing that he was using poetic license here. But I think what he's saying is that her beauty doesn't just make him see that she is beautiful. Her beauty causes him to see more than what is there. You know, he sees beyond it. He looks at her eyes and he sees doves. He looks at her cheeks and he sees a pomegranate. He looks at her neck and he sees the Tower of David built in courses. He sees beyond what is there. And it seems to me that every simile he uses in here, every reference, he's actually referencing something significant that has happened in the history of Israel. You know, the dove, it reminds us of God's promise to Noah that the earth will never be destroyed again. The goats and the sheep remind us of the sacrifices that God's people made. There's a reference to Gilead in here, which is a place that contains a healing balm. Her lips are like a crimson cord, similar to the crimson cord that Rahab hung from her window so that she could be saved from destruction and enter the promised land. He mentions that her cheeks are like pomegranates, a fruit which was weaved into Aaron's priestly robe. Something that he would wear when he went to see God. And we don't know if Solomon was trying to weave historical imagery into this text. But we can see that when he looks at her beauty, he sees more than just her beauty. He sees life and love and healing. Try to find a plastic surgeon that can make people see those in your face. Those promises of love, the promises of God. And this is the difference between the beauty that the world tries to sell us and the beauty that comes from God, real beauty that reflects the beauty of God, who is the original source. And it seems to me that a lot of cosmetic surgery is actually designed so that people will see less of you, whether they're taking something away or whether they're trying to make you look more like someone else. It's designed so that people don't see you or who you are. You know, they promise you a better self at the expense of your true self. But biblical beauty causes someone to see more of you as the person God created, but also more of God. Biblical beauty tells the stories of God's creation and redemption, of his power and his healing. That's the kind of beauty we should be after, a beauty that reflects God to others, a beauty that we can have in our bodies. Solomon was very wise, but he also had a very deep appreciation for beauty. It might have even been his downfall. But God saw that in him, and God gave him the task of building his temple. A temple that displayed God's beauty at every corner and in every detail. This building project took years. And when it was finished, it was perfect. Every detail had been God-inspired because it was God's temple. It had to be. We still worship in beautiful places, but we know that God doesn't dwell in a building. He dwells in his people. At Pentecost, he sent his Spirit to indwell his people so that his presence would remain after Jesus ascended. And there are verses in the Bible that give us a metaphor, the metaphor of our bodies as the temple of God. The Old Testament descriptions of the temple talk about it as the most ornate, the most elaborate, and the most beautiful building. And God is very specific on what materials to use, on the measurements for everything. He put so much thought and attention and care into giving these instructions for his temple. All of it so that when people saw this temple, they would experience the glory of God. In Psalm 139, we read that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God forms us in the womb and knits us together. That same care and attention that went into creating the temple has gone into creating our bodies. And God didn't create us to all look the same. He created us in different shapes and different sizes and different colors, all to reflect his glory. He also thought that our bodies were a worthy home for his Spirit. Sounds to me like God thinks a lot more of our bodies than we do. And maybe if we could see ourselves through God's eyes, we would treat our bodies better. And we would treat each other better. So going back to our question of should a Christian have cosmetic surgery? Well, I can only think of two reasons why someone would want to do this. One, because they want to look younger. Or two, because there is some part of their body that they just don't like and want to change. So let's start with looking younger. This is something that is an obsession for our culture, our society. We really equate beauty with youth. And it's a little bit strange. If you go to the drugstore, you can find, you know, the aisle for the anti-aging products, the products that promise to defy aging or even reverse it, as if that's possible. You know, someone estimated a couple years ago that the anti-aging market is worth over $200 billion. People don't want to age. You know, even the way we talk about aging is so negative. It makes it seem like aging is a shameful thing to do. I remember growing up, my mom would always tell people how old she was on her birthday. She would never try to hide her age. She would never say, you know, she's turning 29 again. She'd say, yeah, this is how old I am. And she would tell us, you know, don't be embarrassed about your age. I'm proud to be turning a year older. And that really left an impression on me as a child. You know, why don't we want to get older? Because the alternative to growing old is dying young, and I don't think that we want that. Our bodies change as we get older, and that's okay. It's okay to have wrinkles. There's a great song by an artist. Her name is Brandi Carlile, and the song is called The Story. And her opening line is, all of these lines across my face tell you the story of who I am. I love that. You know, when I think of all the women and the men I know who have wrinkles on their face, and of all that they've been through, all that they've experienced, of those stories that those wrinkles tell, I think of how I see God working in them and working through them. And my prayer is that I will grow to be that age and to know God the way they know God, to love God the way that they know God. Because they know something that maybe the rest of us don't. They know that to age is a gift. Every day that we get older is a blessing. You know, the very fact that we have the need for anti-aging products or the desire for them shows how luxurious we have it in this society. There are countries where the life expectancy is much, much lower than it is here. Places like Zambia or Yemen or Venezuela. People aren't trying to hide their age there. They're hoping and praying that they'll make it through their 20s and their 30s. If they get to 50, they've done much better than the rest of the population. Every day that we get older is a gift, and we should be thankful for it. And you know, God gave us one body to have during our time on earth. And it's up to us to be good stewards of that body. We should eat our vegetables. We should exercise. We should drink water. Wear sunscreen. We should sleep. If you're on social media late into the night, that's not going to help you age well. Stop doing it. It's not healthy. If you want to age well, then don't harbor resentment towards others. If you want to age well, then learn to be content. You're not going to find that in a cream or in a surgery. A few years ago, I was sitting in a Bible study on Wednesday morning, and I was sitting next to Mary Foley. She always loved to tell me, every time I saw her, how old she was. And I think she probably would have been about 102 at this time, so she was telling me her age, and of course I said, okay, Mrs. Foley, what's your secret? Tell me. And she leaned into me and she said, two things. Keep working and don't get mad. That is a philosophy that I can live by. I mean, she would be the expert on aging. The other reason someone might want cosmetic surgery is because there's a part of their body that they're unhappy with. And that's a different story. And I get it, we all have things about our bodies that we want to change. But what I want to tell you is that God created your body the way it is to display His glory. This means that your body as it is right now, has the capacity to display God's glory to the world. So I'm going to finish by telling you a story about an imperfect body. I was in a seminary class with a young woman, and the first time I saw her, she was walking in front of me, and I couldn't help but stare at her because she had this very distinct way of walking. As we got to our class, I got to know her a bit, and we were sharing about body image that week. And she shared her story, which was that she had been born without calf muscles. Because of this, the doctors told her parents that she would never walk, that she would have trouble doing everyday activities. But eventually, as she grew, she did start to walk. Much later, of course, than her peers. But one day she got up and she was walking and running. Her parents saw this and they said, "This is a miracle. God has done something good. Your body shows us how good and how wonderful God is." And this is what she heard at home. This was the message that she heard about her body. That she was good and beautiful and a reflection of God's glory. Outside of her home, the messages were very different. People would see her and tell her that there was something wrong with her, that she was deficient, that she wasn't beautiful. And this is how the world works. God creates us differently and uniquely, according to his own standard, not the standard of the world, and he calls us beautiful. He calls us his beloved. But the world sees us and says, you could look better. You could be better. Don't stop chasing your best self. The world tells us that our best self is right around the corner. All we need is a smaller waist, or a larger chest, or more hair in our heads, or less hair in our bodies, or whiter teeth, or darker skin, fuller lips, longer eyelashes, and the list goes on and on and on. And for the very low price of your self-worth and your soul, you could have it all. You could look like anyone you want to, just not yourself. You know, we can't read a sermon that gives us Jesus' thoughts on cosmetic surgery, but what we can do is see what he said to his disciples about their bodies. In Luke 12, Jesus says, don't worry about your bodies. Look at the lilies. They don't toil or spin. Yet even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. If God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Stop worrying. Your Father knows what you need. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. I love the Message translation of this passage. In the last verse, it says, steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, and God provisions. For the Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. We can't read about God giving someone a new nose because God wants to give us so much more. He wants to give us his very kingdom. So let's steep ourselves in God reality. The reality that our time on earth is meant for us to reflect the beauty of God. Rather than worrying about having a flawless selfie, let's ask God how we can bring about his kingdom on earth. After this week, Lord knows how much we need that. We need to start loving the bodies that God gave us. That's going to help us love the bodies of other people, people who look different than us. And that's where the kingdom is realized. So let's think about how we can display God's beauty, how we can reflect the beauty of a father who loves his creation, a father who gave his only son so that we could know him. Because that is really your best self. The one that God created. The one that is knowing and loving and walking with God. So embrace the body that God gave you. Whatever it might look like. And seek the kingdom. God will take care of the rest. Amen.